What are you even worried about? It's Worry Week on The Wire.
For this week's Worry Week, we are covering the topic of sexual harassment, and one of the areas of concern is harassment in the workplace. I spoke to Tertiary Education Union Sandra Gray about the culture towards harassment.
Well, I think there's always room when it comes to sexual harassment or any form of harassment and bullying to be doing more. We need to make our workplaces really safe places. And at the moment, for quite a lot of people, they aren't a good place to be. They are suffering at the hands of others, and we need to make sure that we turn that around.
The sexual harassment is governed by the Human Rights Act and the Employment Sexual Harassment Act, which essentially gives the employer the right to govern the case. Should we be looking at outside parties to be covering sexual harassment cases in the workplace?
Well, always when we're talking about workers' rights, what we want to do is actually, first of all, do some proactive work around creating safe cultures. And that should be about all of the workers and all of the people in that place of employment getting together and working out the way forward and making sure that we have processes that are victim-led, processes that actually recognise the harm done, but also, of course, processes that are fair and just to all involved. So, you know, I think it is actually appropriate that the workplaces have a strong involvement, but it can't just be a boss saying this is what we're going to do. It has to be the entire workforce engaging in those processes. You know, and in the case of universities, it has to be the entire staff and student body that is involved in developing how we deal with sexual harassment, how we deal with other forms of harassment, because actually it's about interactions between people, and we need to be part of the conversation right from the start.
I believe at the moment there is a government inquiry that is going through the Human Rights Commission. Is that sort of covering some of the processes that you are talking about implementing in workplaces?
Well, I'm not sure what the inquiry is looking into, but I, you know, from a perspective of the TU and working in universities, we certainly would want to see any future approaches to be absolute around zero tolerance of sexual harassment. We, you know, we don't want anyone being harassed at work, and that's really important. It's important that we acknowledge what we're looking for is those really safe places to go, that where we can be, you know, engaging with our colleagues in healthy relationships. So we need to make sure that what comes out of any inquiry meets the needs of victims and empowers them to make really informed decisions about their actions and what they want to do, because that's also part of it. You can't say to every victim they've got to do this. You've actually got to let them decide how to deal with their issues and who they want to work with and how they want things advanced. And of course, you know, we need to make sure that we have fair and transparent processes. So hopefully, you know, all the people who are involved in this area are looking carefully at how we take a step up in this, because it has seemed to have gone on the back burner a bit in some of the institutions over the last few years. So we need to make sure it's a priority issue to deal with.
Sort of certain industries worse than others?
It's very hard to know, because often what we do see with these types of processes is they're dealt with in a kind of a mediation between two people who are involved. They're often dealt with behind the scenes rather than openly reported, and it's probably one of the things that makes it quite difficult to know what's going on. But what we do need to keep doing is opening up those spaces for people to be open and clear and frank about what's going on and what is happening, and make sure that, you know, all of the victims of sexual harassment or other forms of harassment know who they can turn to, know who they can seek support from, and that the processes aren't buried, because that's one of the problems often in our institutions and universities is, you know, you try and find out how to lay a complaint or talk to someone about sexual harassment, and it takes you, you know, 4 hours to find your way through a rabbit warren of clicks in a website. We need to be much more transparent and open and make sure that information is readily available to everyone.
So we talk about changing the culture, and transparency is one of the big effects that needs to, I guess, be worked on. What other areas within our workplace culture that we need to be working on?
Well, what we see at the moment for staff and students in tertiary education is a really tough environment where workloads are really high for students, including staff, where there's lots of pressures for students, lots of financial pressures. You know, we've seen a lot of things impacting negatively on the well-being of staff and students, and one of those is just that staff often are pressured time-wise to deal with issues, and that means, you know, that they're not acting sometimes in ways that they would like to, that they're struggling to do the pastoral care work, to do the advice work. So I think one of the biggest things in our universities and any of our tertiary education institutions at the moment is we need to rehumanise our campuses. We need to put people right back at the centre, and that might mean some more investment by government, but it also from the senior leaders of the institution, it means they need to model good behaviour right from the top. They need to make sure that they are inclusive and open, that they are openly talking about issues of sexual harassment and harassment, but they're also modelling good behaviour in the way that they actually act on campuses, that they are open to staff and students, and that they are forming real human relationships, because actually that's what's needed to make our places safe to work in.
Okay, that's all the questions I have. Is there any further comments that you would like to make?
Well, I guess, you know, the flip side of all of this is that we also, you know, obviously want to make sure that workers have transparent processes, so that, you know, that natural justice applies in all of these cases. But I do think it's time we had an open conversation about just some of the bad behaviours that go on in our campuses, and not be scared to have those conversations. I think over the last few years, the market kind of free market approach to tertiary education means all of our institutions are holding on to a attempt to make their brand for their university look clean and without any blemishes, and that sometimes means we hide things we shouldn't. So I think it's time we had an open conversation and said, these are high pressure places. Of course, at times, you know, human relationships, there are issues that come up. Sexual harassment won't be tolerated, bullying won't be tolerated, and that actually everybody's on board, and there's lots of support and training to make sure that we can all turn up to work and study and know that, you know, we're not going to be the subject of a harassing comment or a look or a touch or a comment that makes us feel uncomfortable about sex and sexuality. So, you know, this is a big conversation. It's not going to be fixed quickly, but we need to put the time and the resources into it and make sure it's seen as a priority.
After speaking to Sandra Gray, I then spoke to Development Manager of Home Care Medical, Dylan Norton, about transparency around sexual harassment conversation. As a forewarning to this interview, this goes into conversations about victims and abusers. If you are disturbed by this content,
please don't listen for the next 7 minutes.
Prior to this, I spoke to Sandra Gray from Tertiary Education Union around building a culture open to talk about sexual harassment and the need for transparency. What are the barriers towards transparency around conversations of sexual harassment and sexual harm?
Yeah, so we deliver the National Sexual Harm Service, and certainly some of the barriers that we see are around the shame and stigma that can come with it. In terms of sexual harm, the acts can often be based around power, and so people that we're supporting are often feeling quite powerless about their experience. And actually a large number of the people that contact us and have experienced sexual harm, it's been done by someone close to them, so also someone that is known to them, so family members, whānau. And so that can add a whole sort of different level around disclosing, what's happened and actually, you know, talking to people and reaching out for support.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I found interesting around the relation of sexual harassment is the relation to power, which you spoke shortly about. Yep. There's often a power struggle between the victim and the abuser, and the victim can often feel in a position of powerless. So how do we deal with that power struggle?
how do you deal with that power struggle? Well, in terms of harassment, I guess the really key thing is to go and actually go through the right processes to based on where you are. So if you're at work, that's related to employment, so you need to go and actually go through your work processes around that, because it's obviously an employment issue. Same with sort of other institutions, tertiary institutions and schools and that sort of thing as well. Look, one of the things that we can do is actually we can actually support people to take those steps and actually, and get some of that power back. So one of the things I'd be really encouraging people to do is to actually calling our counsellors. So we've got, we're a 24/7 service, we've got trained counsellors that are available 24/7, and people can call us on 0800 044 334 for free, or they can text us on 4334 as well. And they can even go to our website, which is www.safetotalk.nz, and they can message us. And that can be done anonymously and, really easily. And they can actually have a chat with one of our counsellors, and we can support them, to actually make the decisions and take the steps they need to do to get some of that power back.
Often people who've experienced sexual harm or sexual harassment take a long period of time to speak out about the incident. What are the implications of that?
Sorry, Damien. So people taking a long time to actually talk about it?
Yeah, so a long period of time. I think there was a case recently. I don't want to go into too much detail about it because it's still getting investigated, but there was an incident from 1960s. That sort of get revealed, so obviously, those periods of time.
Look, in terms of the people that are contacting us for support, a large number of those people are people who are disclosing historical sexual harm. So it's happened a long time ago, and it's because of those reasons we were talking about before, those barriers to actually reaching out. But the implications are really massive, right? So we know that sexual harm is extremely traumatic and can have a really big impact on that person's life in lots of ways. A huge way that we see that is in their relationships. And we know that we need to be healthy and well, we need to have good, healthy relationships. So the delays in actually reaching out are pretty massive. And that's why we really want to encourage people, where things are happening, it's actually better to find a safe place a safe and professional place to actually reach out for help, whether that's us as our helplines, whether it's other fantastic sexual harm services that are out in the community as well, because there's a whole range of fantastic services throughout New Zealand that can provide support. So we just really encourage people to reach out sooner rather than later, because with the right sort of support, we can, there can really be a journey of well-being that people can go on that can, have huge impact on their lives.
One of the services mentioned on your website is for those worried about their own thoughts. So the conversation isn't always about the victim. And back to the topic of power, from reading a psychology report this morning, I found out that a lot of abuse stems from a victim once feeling powerless and then later gaining a sense of power. How important is it to speak to those about worrying thoughts and deal with the issues of someone concerned they may abuse?
Yeah, look, really, really important. It's certainly one of the things that we're really we really promote in terms of Safe to Talk. Is it's not just about people who have experienced sexual harm, but it's actually for people who are thinking about harming someone else, or have harmed someone else. And there are things that we can do, our counsellors can do to support people, so we can help come up with strategies to put things in place so things don't happen and don't escalate. We can also connect them with really specialist services in their area that can work, more intensively than we can to support that person so that those thoughts don't turn into behaviours or those behaviours don't continue.
For someone to speak out about their own worrying thoughts, the abuser has to be aware of the potential thoughts that these thoughts are not right. Is there an issue for those potential abusers not picking up on that distinction?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So that's why I think it's really important we sort of really, put it out there so that people can, and it's why these conversations are really important thing, and so that actually there's the conversations that are happening out in the community, and maybe that will actually, drive a bit of self-awareness in people and get them to actually reach out to support us. Because if we can actually support them, then we're going to reduce the harm and the impact for everyone in the community.
Okay, that's all the comments that or questions I have. Is there any further comments that you would like to make?
No, just that we're a national service for people who have experienced sexual harm, or for people who are thinking about harming someone or have harmed someone. We're available 24/7. We've got qualified counsellors that have been trained specifically to work with sexual harm, and people can remain anonymous when they contact us. So we just really encourage people to reach out and connect with our team.
Worry Week on The Wire.